Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
It is time to do some NFL picks. And welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we do NFL picks, I want to go down. We've got a lot of comments coming in. KT is putting on quite a display here. He's upset about Ollie's move yesterday. As you see all these comments coming in, said he would have removed him from the dugout. He says the rebuild smarts in the smug manager's the rebuild starts in the smug manager's office ASAP. Hates the Cubs with a passion as a Cardinals fan, but he did not like what Ollie did yesterday. Called it a punk move. Just want to make sure I get all your comments in there, KT. I'm going to hold that thought for our conversation because I don't want to jump or steal the thunder from Bernie Miklas. So Bernie's going to join me at 11:45 to talk about that very thing. Good morning to Josh. Good morning to Brandon. Always great to see our comments coming in on YouTube. YouTube's getting a lot of action. That one's from Facebook, from Brandon. And Joe on YouTube is looking forward to the Bloom area, as am I. We're going to hear from Heim Bloom on Tuesday at 10 a.m. We're going to carry that live on KMOX. Tomorrow at noon, we're going to carry John Mozeliak's press conference live. He will join us on this show at 11:30 this morning, but he does a press conference, his last one, tomorrow. At Busch Stadium. Mel says, good morning. Good morning, Mel. It's always great to hear from our guests. And now it's time for our NFL picks.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
I wish I was that good. Tom Ackerman, former center in the National Football League, selected by the Saints in the fifth round of the 96 draft out of Eastern Washington. Played for the Saints, but on that call on Monday Night Football, assembled by our former KMOX producer Lisa Herman, he was playing for the Tennessee Titans, played for them for two seasons. After a brief time with the Oakland Raiders, then he called it a career in 2003. Tom Ackerman, born September 6, 1972. So he is 3 years older than me. Someday we will meet. Maybe we should put him on this and pick. I just thought of it. We should pick against each other in the NFL picks.
He's a hard guy to find. I'll tell you that.
Really? Have you tried?
Yes.
I'll find him. Minnesota leads. No, they don't. They just scored a touchdown. But Pittsburgh leads Minnesota 24-12 in the fourth quarter, just scoring the Vikings in Ireland, trailing 24-12. Steelers have been dominant in this one. That game is already underway. If you didn't know that, if you didn't set your fantasy lineup, there was a game this morning that is just wrapping up in Ireland. Here we go. I am 22-22 against the spread so far this season, 50% against the spread. So we have broken even, exactly. Let's see if we can gain some ground here in week four. Washington at Atlanta, the Commanders playing without Jaden Daniels, playing without Terry McLaurin, and they are 3-point dogs. 2.5 is the last that I saw. 2.5 points at Atlanta. That's tough. I think the Falcons are going to win this game. And I think they can win it by more than 2.5. I'm going to take them. I like this Washington team a ton. I really, really, really do. And Atlanta was disappointing to say the least last week, getting shut out of Carolina 30-0. If they're not ferocious in this game, all out, then there's a problem. There's a bye next week. They need to come out flying today. Falcons minus 2.5 against Washington. New Orleans at Buffalo. I've told you over and over, New Orleans is a bad football team. They got beat badly by Seattle last week, and I think they're going to get their rear ends handed to them again by Buffalo. What's the spread? It's 14 points. Buffalo minus 14. Cleveland at Detroit. The Browns picking up a key win last week against the Green Bay Packers. They find themselves 10-point dogs at the juggernaut that is the Detroit Lions. It's a big number, yes, but I'm going to take it. Detroit minus 10 at home against Cleveland. Carolina at New England. The Patriots minus 5 in this game. Carolina coming off that 30-0 win. I'll ride that a little bit longer. I'll go Carolina plus 5, keeping that close. Chargers at the Giants. Giants are going with Jackson Dart at quarterback this afternoon instead of Russell Wilson. Jim Harbaugh's Chargers come in to MetLife Stadium, a 6-point favorite on the road. They're 3-0. They've beaten the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Broncos. Pretty good start. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to take a minus 6 at the Giants. We have Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, a pair of 3-0 teams. The Bucs are good. They figure out ways to win games, but the Eagles are excellent. And Philadelphia, minus 3.5 today. They're going to come in and get the job done today. I like a minus 3.5. I hate that half, but I'm going to do it anyway. Philadelphia, minus 3.5 at Tampa Bay. Tennessee at Houston, a pair of 0-3 teams. I would normally call this a who cares game, but we do care because you may have something on the line here. 7-point spread, Tennessee at Houston. The Texans have had a weird season. They're 0-3, but they've lost all three games by one possession. 5 points, 1 point, 7 points. I like them today against the Titans, obviously. Am I willing to give the Titans 7 to take that? I am going to do that. I'm going to go Houston minus 7. Houston minus 7. We have, what else do we have? Indianapolis at the Rams. Oh, the Colts, they're flying right now. They're 3-0. Rams are good. I will give them that. Gave the Eagles all they could handle. It came down to a blocked field goal, return for a touchdown to beat them. Poor Rams. I like the Colts plus 3.5 on the road. I do. I like this Colts team a lot. Jacksonville at San Francisco. San Francisco just finds ways to win. I don't know how they do it, but they do it all the time. Now they have Brock Purdy back. They're 3-point favorites against the Jaguars, who love to throw the ball around. Problem is, San Francisco's got a great secondary, great pass defense, and they have Brock Purdy back, and they're going to win this game. Jacksonville's going to go all the way across the country and lose. San Francisco minus 3 today. I love that one, actually. Baltimore at Kansas City. Here we go. This is the game of the day. Both teams 1-2. Both teams desperate, desperate to win this football game. None more desperate than the Kansas City Chiefs. They just took care of business against the Giants. They need this one in the worst way. They cannot go 1-3, nor can they go 1-3 knowing that they just lost it at Arrowhead. They are going to win this game today, and they are, ready for it, underdogs. They are a 2.5-point dog today. Give me Chiefs plus 2.5. I just pounded the table on that. Pound it. Chicago at Vegas. Ooh, Bears with a great win. Great win. How are they underdogs at Vegas? Maybe I'm getting too wrapped up in this, but the Bears look really, really good. Won't they have like half the stadium? I mean, aren't all Bears fans going to Vegas? Haven't they been partying all weekend? If you're a Bears fan, how did you not go to Vegas this weekend? That is 100% what you should do. Bears plus two in this game at Vegas. They'll win that. Green Bay at Dallas. I just don't like this Cowboys team. Have I ever liked the Cowboys in my life? But the Cowboys defense is atrocious. I just raved about the Bears, but man, the Cowboys defense. Woof. Swiss cheese. Packers minus 6.5 at Dallas. I think they can handle that. I think they can win by a touchdown there, come back, bounce back from their loss to Cleveland. And I'm going to go Green Bay minus 6.5 at Dallas. Jets at Miami, two horrendous football teams. Jets are a 2.5-point dog on the road. Another who cares game, but we care because we gotta help you out here. Oof. Ugh. Just so ugly. I'm going to go Jets. That was a heartbreaker for them. Dolphins will be motivated, I'm certain. They've lost three. They just got their rear ends handed to them by Buffalo. They had a little extra time to prepare for this, but I don't care. I'll go Jets plus 2.5 and just kind of hope that they can get it done. As you can tell, I don't love that game. It's a Monday night game. The other Monday night game is Cincinnati at Denver. Now, this is intriguing. The Bengals are playing without Joe Burrow. They've got to figure out a way to stay afloat until he comes back eventually from his injury. But I'm going to ride. I'm going to go Broncos bouncing back here. Something was wrong with them in their last game. The last two games, actually. Just not able to close the deal against the Colts and Chargers. I feel like they need to make a statement here for themselves more than anything. I hate the half point, but I'm going to do it anyway. Denver minus 7.5, the final Monday night game against the Bengals. And there you go. Those are your picks for week four. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Tony Schumacher, NHRA Midwest Nationals are today at Worldwide Technology Raceway. The winningest driver ever joins us next. Welcome back to the show. It is the Napa Auto Parts NHRA Midwest Nationals. Worldwide Technology Raceway, Madison, Illinois, St. Louis. We are just 5 minutes from the arch, and we are ready for what is a tremendous event. In fact, this was the first event that came back to the track when Curtis Francois purchased it in 2011. And joining us is only the winningest driver in the history of NHRA, Tony Schumacher, is with us on KMOX.
It's good to be here, and I got to tell you, this is the track that, I won't say made me the winningest, but made me the number I'm at, because this is the last time we won, right? And I have impatiently been waiting to get back here, because it was one of those races where it just wasn't easy. It was very difficult, people we had to get through, and we ended up getting there and getting the trophy, and it was number 88, incredibly lucky number. And unfortunately, I don't want to stay there. I'd like to go to 89 this weekend.
That's right. There have been some drivers who have had success here. Antron Brown's had success here. You have had success here. What is it about St. Louis, just in general, the experience that you like?
You know, I like when it's a difficult race, and I think he does too. You know, both of us, if you were to ask some of the top five drivers, I think Antron's right there. So when you have those races where you get in the middle of the summer, you're getting near the end, you got to have power. You got to be able to pedal a car when it smokes the tires. And I think to be a champ at this, when you get into this part, you're in the countdown, the pressure's really high. The cars have to perform. The drivers have to step up. You know, there's a handful of people that can win at those races. So, and I think me and Antron really like the pressure. You know, so when you get near the end of the year like this and the big moments come up and it's like it's a must-win type thing, we just do good.
There's a lot of talent out there, isn't there?
It's stupid right now.
Not just the drivers, but the teams. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot at stake and there's a lot going on out there.
You know, for a long time, I mean, we won six championships in a row and everyone was fighting for number two, and it was just the way it was. It was understood. John Force was doing the same thing. Everyone was battling for a second spot. Right now, you have no idea who's going to win. There's 10 people that can win at any given day at this any of the races. I think it's the drivers have found homes, the crew chiefs have found homes, and there used to be silly season. Everyone rotated and switched. It's not like that right now, man. People have settled in. They found their teams. They found their homes. And the more experience you get with a crew chief and a driver and a team, the better the team gets, the higher the performance gets. But, you know, truthfully, like I said on stage last week, we are athletes, but we're also entertainers. And I think the fans that pay good money to get to a race, whatever sport they go to, I want them to leave and say, you know what, we paid this much, but I feel like we owe more. And I think that's what they're getting in the top fuel field right now. The races are insane. They're so close, decided by thousands of a second. I think last year we won by, I don't know, you know, a couple inches. Two cars going 330 to 340 miles per hour, and we win by a couple inches. So at the end of the day, when the fans leave, I think they get a great show, and I think this is one of the tracks. It's a beautiful facility. It's the only one, I think, on tour where you get to see IndyCar, you get to see NASCAR, and then you get to see the real cars, drag racing. No, nothing personal. I mean, it's all cool. I'm not, you know, I don't care. I like it, everything. I like everything. But if we talk about speed, we're talking about 340 miles per hour. And if we're talking about 340 miles per hour, we're talking about Brittany Force. She is doing amazing. We're all chasing after those speeds. But you know what? Like she says, it's the ET. It's the elapsed time. There's a big difference. The speed is only calculated in the last 66 feet. So you can have a car that runs a really good elapsed time, and that's what wins those races. But it doesn't have the speed. You can run good speed without having the elapsed time. So, but fastest by far. Top fuel, funny car, greatest sport in the world.
It's mind-blowing how fast you go. And then also the fans get accessibility. I mean, you all are available to them. Like, they can go down and see everything pretty much, can't they?
Absolutely. And I think there's a couple of things. The fans that were there last weekend, some people had literally people that go out because I drive for Rick Ware. So he's got a NASCAR. Cody, his son, drives. And people that are out there trying to pull marketing dollars together. They'd never been to a drag race before, and you bring them out, and they go, this is insane. You get to walk in, stand by the driver. This is unheard of. But then they say, you also go in the stands and feel like you're in the car. So it's really one of those sports where you are all in as a fan. Like, you get to feel the earth rotate. You get to feel like you're sitting in that car. You really feel like you're part of the team. And then you go meet your driver, and you go, you pick the ones you like and the ones you don't like that don't come out of the trailer, that sit in their shell. And you get to pick on, you know, this guy, I don't like this guy, I like this guy. And, you know, and then you get to watch them race each other. And you know, you can boo the ones you want to boo and cheer for the ones you want to cheer for. That's awesome. I love it, man, because, you know, I like when they're booing the other guy.
You're wearing your Rick Ware Racing shirt, American Communications Construction Racing. Clay Milliken's part of that, right?
Yeah, he is. Great teammate. You know, like, when I started in Top Fuel, I drove for the Peak Brothers, but it was shortly after that my father put a team together, and there was one car. We drove Exide batteries. It was one car, and a few years later, we picked up the Army, and we had a two-car team. And then Bazemore came over and drove, and then all of a sudden we had eight cars, a few pro stock cars, a couple of bikes. We had a huge team. This is real unique. It's me and one other Top Fuel car, and I've never been able to work like that before, but it is awesome. I mean, Clay's a good guy. He's like the fan favorite. Like, I pull for him if he's racing me. You know, it's like he's just got the smile all the time, and I think it's how it should be. We should love what we do. I mean, we're in a dangerous sport. We're going 340 miles per hour. If you don't love this, you picked the wrong job, because, you know, you got to be committed to this, and he's the winningest IHRA driver. I'm the winningest NHRA driver. So as a team, it's such a cool package. And believe it or not, it's the first time I've ever been able to walk over and just flat out have a conversation. What would you do in this situation? And he's honest. And if he asked me, I'd do the same thing. So that's the teamwork. And it's going to pay off. You know, we're brand new. We're still trying to figure it all out. But when it all comes together, it's going to be a world champ team.
That's exciting. You know, it's like a new chapter.
For sure. For me, it is.
I wanted to ask you a technical question, too, before we go. With temperatures rising this week, it's going to be beautiful weather. I mean, it's phenomenal weather, but you'll be no secret running in the 80s. You do that all the time in that temperature. What is the difference in terms of preparation temperature-wise?
Sure. So 12,000 horsepower cars, we use a six-disc clutch, and it has to slip that clutch the whole way, right? So the hotter it is, the more UV, the more sun on the track, the more you got to slip it down there. Just like if you were driving a stick shift on ice, you know, you got to let that clutch out slower. And that's the same thing we're doing, but we're doing it with a six disc clutch. And I think the conditions are going to be, what's unique here is we're running tomorrow night. So 6 o'clock and I think 8 or 9 at night, you're going to see some incredible runs. And then we come out in the morning and we're going to run at, you know, noon on Saturday, something like that. So, which is very similar to what we're going to race on. And I've always said, like, it's great to have those night runs because they're the ones that will qualify you number one, set the world records, do all the great stuff for the fans. But it's not when we race, and we need to have the data on race day. So I think looking at the weather, we've been much hotter. You know, we raced in Charlotte. We raced in Richmond, and it was like, I don't know, 12 or 13 degrees hotter than the sun, if I remember. It was brutal. The cars would barely start. They don't like to run in that stuff. We get in the 80 degrees, 70 degrees, like we're going to see great runs. You know, depending on the UV, depending on the sun and the track, really. But for the fans coming out, trust me on this, this is a perfect weekend for racing. Get out there, get a ticket, make sure you get by. I will be out signing, and I'll go hermit myself in the trailer. So you want to get an autograph, bring your friends and family out, bring your kids out. We'll make sure they have a great day.
Tony Schumacher with us on KMOX. It'll be a lot of fun. The Napa Auto Parts NHRA Midwest Nationals, the 26th to the 28th at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Have a great run, great weekend.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back, and for the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Final time on Sports on a Sunday Morning, at least for now. We are visiting with the Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Who knows in the future our visits, but as far as our regular 11:30s, this is our last one. Mo, it's great to be with you as always.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I imagine you think back to how many times we've done this Sunday show. It's been a lot of fun and clearly really grateful for the friendship and the time we've spent together.
Well, same here. And we've had a lot of great talks. I've always looked at this as not a press conference, an interview, yes, but also a conversation, an opportunity to have you give your side and explain what is going on, but also be an information source for us. It doesn't get more official than having you tell things about what's going on KMOX. But I'd say more so, your professionalism. You know, I'm sure you were annoyed with some of my questions at times. I'm sure you're annoyed.
No, never.
I'm sure that there were some things that were not comfortable to talk about, but criticism comes your way at the top and the spokesperson for the organization. That's part of the job. I've always felt like you handled that with professionalism and class.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that. You know, I think the one beauty of KMOX and its reach to the fans, it's something that you have to do. It's part of the job, and giving them a little bit of a peek behind the curtain is something that I think is helpful. And, you know, sometimes they don't like what I have to say, but at least I hope I've been transparent and honest with our fan base through the years.
That you have, and thank you for that. Our only hope is that Chaim Bloom can continue to carry that on Sports at a Sunday Morning like you and Walt Jocketty before you. I know that, Chaim, do I have this right that you and the way Bill DeWitt told it in the winter warm-up was that you had looked at Chaim and you reached out to him, and he said that's really something because I was going to mention the same thing, that both of you had your eyes on Chaim Bloom a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. I had definitely spoken to him just to get his interest after his Boston situation. And once I did that, the main focus at the time, that wasn't necessarily to be my successor, but was to just get a look under the hood of our player development. And so, you know, we agreed to do that. And I think, obviously, the success he had with that also led to now being my successor.
And he will address the media on Tuesday morning. You are going to do it for the final time tomorrow. What do you anticipate that being like? What do you plan to talk about tomorrow?
You know, still sort of thinking through that, but really it's just about gratitude and just thanking the people I've had to work with over the years. Obviously, these typically are about the future of what the organization is going to do, but I'm not going to have to deal with that tomorrow. So it's really going to be more of a look back and a thank you.
And looking back at this past Sunday, you and I talked right before you threw out the first pitch. I knew that was going to be a strike. The former batting practice pitcher, John Mozeliak, you fired that one right down the middle to your son, Will. What was that experience like?
It was super cool to have him be a part of it. I obviously, when you're in this type of job, the time away from home is large. And to have my whole family there, my wife, Julie, my daughter, Allie, and then Will, it was really special.
You're a family man. What do you plan on doing here in the near future?
Short term, I just got to break my routines, right? Because I've been doing the same thing for close to 30 years, and I just have to reprogram myself to have a different ebb and flow of a day. So I think I'll probably travel a little bit, but I'll still be around St. Louis from time to time. But I definitely won't, from a media standpoint, want to become more invisible.
Sure. Understood. I mean, it's been part of your job for a long, long time, 30 years in the organization, 18 in the position that you were in from general manager to president of baseball operations. And with that comes a lot of memories. I would assume that if I asked you for number one, you're going to say 2011 winning a world championship, not to mention something I think you were very proud of, which was organization of the year for the first time.
Yeah, I think back I think when you reflect on the job itself, meaning like when you work for a baseball team or any professional team, ultimately your goal is to be a part of a championship. And so obviously in 06, we won one. 2011, we won one. And those are, things I'll never forget and you're super proud of. But it's also about just the ability to maintain a successful model for so long and to have so many wins over that period. And especially if you were to do it, wins per dollar, I wouldn't be surprised if we were number one in that time period. So you take a lot of pride in that. Obviously, you mentioned organization of the year 2 years in a row. That's just a great compliment to your scouting and your player development. And those are really just amazing times. And hopefully the organization can get back there.
And John Mozeliak won multiple Executive of the Year awards as well. And I feel like a lot of teams tried to replicate what you were doing, tried to follow what you were doing. It is a business where, as you said, it's hard to stay on top. I wonder, in the baseball climate today, as we ebb and flow through different waves of baseball, how St. Louis matches up here, just in general, how you see the game today and the Cardinals' place in it, how they can succeed at their level. We talked about this a little bit last week, but for those who weren't able to chime in.
I think the most important thing right now is sort of the difference in economics than it was 15, 20 years ago. And you're starting to see a big dispersion in the haves and have nots. And so, we were always a small market team that was able to compete almost as a large market because of our TV deal, because of our attendance. And so from a revenue standpoint, we were able to punch above our weight. I think what you're seeing happen, though, now is these are becoming more challenging after the TV bubble has burst, attendance in St. Louis has dropped. And so, these are opportunities now for the next leadership group to come in and hopefully find ways to leverage those situations and get us back to where we once were. But the one difference is from low revenue teams to high revenue, I think it's a growing spread in that from the haves and have nots from 15, 20 years ago.
Do you believe, from your observations watching them work, that the Cardinals are in a good place with this leadership group, not to mention ownership group?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is, I do think like our minor league system is stronger than maybe we're getting credit for. I think our international department has been producing more, and you'll see that in the next few years. So I think under Moy, we've seen some success there. And then obviously Randy Flores running the draft. So I think there's like a lot of just you know, underneath things that are positive. And so you should, Cardinals fans should feel good about that. And then with regard to leadership, yeah, I certainly hope this group can take it to the next level. And, you know, I certainly wish them the very best.
And finally, John, you've been surrounded by many people in your career. You've had a lot of people to go around and thank, and people have come around to thank you. And I'm sure they've come out of nowhere. The people you haven't heard from in a while, so many people that have come into your life. But I would go out to say that number one is your wife, Julie, who I understand you will be attending the game with today.
Yeah, she's up here with me. She wanted to be at the final game, which I thought was really cool. And yeah, of course, like you think about like the support of family in these types of jobs. I mean, without a great wife, it's hard to raise great kids. And she was amazing through it all. And, you know, she's seen a lot. She's been amazing for me. And I think like he and I are actually looking forward to sort of that next chapter. But in the meantime, we're going to enjoy today, get through tomorrow, and then take a deep breath.
One chapter ends, another one begins for John Mozeliak. Again, thank you for all the visits here on Sunday. Very meaningful to our radio station, our partnership, and we appreciate you very much.
All right, Tommy, thank you, and I wish you the best.
You as well. John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. Final game today at Wrigley Field, and a pleasure to have him through all these years on the show. We look forward to our visits in the future with Heim Bloom and his leadership group. We will take a timeout when we come back. Bernie Miklas will be with us. We have a lot to go over with Bernie. We'll take him up until noon. Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Here is Tom Ackerman.
Good to be back with you. Cardinal baseball coming your way today with a 2:20 first pitch from Wrigley Field. We just got off the phone with John Mozeliak for the final time, and now we hop on with Bernie Miklas, who joins us on KMOX. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Tom Ackerman. I texted you the 2-3 minutes ago, said I really, really enjoyed the interview with John Mozeliak. So, and if I could just say this, you haven't asked a question, but can I just say this? And I was telling producer Drew Young this. So many of us, including me, you know, so I'm putting my hand up because I'm prominent in that group because I've had a public, you know, a public media platform. We've spent so much time sort of beating on John Mozeliak the last 2-3 years, right? And listen, a lot of mistakes were made. We don't have to rehash that. But we spent so much time beating up on the end, which was, you know, three years in a row without making the playoffs, some things in decline, all that. Okay, granted, we've all discussed that a million times. I think we forget to remember and acknowledge and appreciate all of the great things he did when he was here, you know, and it's really kind of unfair. And I'm going to, you know, it probably, you know, I've sort of written about that. I may write about it again because his whole body of work is outstanding. No matter what anybody says, the facts speak for themselves. Yes, it didn't end well, but what about the first 15 years that came before the last 3 years? What, they don't matter? Come on.
Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you know, he has, when it's all said and done, a body of work that is going to be highly regarded. Not many of these end well like you want, you know. So he,
right.
And he ended up not getting fired either. I mean, he ended up being able to go out kind of on his terms, which I'm sure he's pleased.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's no way for me to research this in any short time, but I would say in the modern era, I'm not talking about the 1940s, 50s, 60s, whatever. I'm talking about the, you know, you know, since maybe the start of the 1990s, mid-90s, you know, how many guys who were either general manager, president of baseball operations, or the both, survive, you know, last 18 years? I mean, a lot of them just get run off because they screw up a lot early on or whatever. But, you know, if Mo screwed up, which some things were, he'd be the first to tell you. That happened at the end of his tenure. But, I mean, my goodness, as much as I love and revere Walt Jocketty, which I do, you know, when comparing their time of running things, right, you know, John Mozeliak, you know, he had more years than Jocketty in the job, but John Mozeliak made the playoffs at a higher percentage of rate than Walt Jocketty. They both won two pennants. They both won a World Series. They both won, their teams won six division titles. Mo had three losing seasons in 18 years. Walt Jocketty, and again, I revere Walt Jocketty. Walt Jocketty had four losing seasons, one more than Mo in 13 years. And that was with Tony La Russa as the manager, right? You look at their postseason records, pretty similar. You know, you look at the overall winning percentage when they were running the Cardinals, regular season. John Mozeliak 541, Walt Jocketty 535. With Mo as the president, or GM, president of baseball operations, only, you know, starting in 2008, only the Yankees and the Dodgers won more postseason games in Major League Baseball. In the NL Central, the Cardinals under Mo had three losing seasons. The rest of the division, those teams had 41 losing seasons. You know, if I'll shut up after this about it. I just want to drive home the point because I really enjoyed that interview. And it got me reflecting on Mo. Here's a partial list of players John Mozeliak brought to this organization. The first two were as the director, the scouting director and draft director. Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina, Matt Holliday, David Freese, Lance Berkman, Carlos Beltran, Jason Hayward, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, John Lackey, Rafael Furcal. That 2011 trade that brought in Edwin Jackson, who was huge stretch, plus Octavio Dotel, Mark Szczepanski. He brought in Jake Westbrook. Again, that's a partial list. There's more. They don't win. That 2011 team and that 2013 team, John Mozeliak's fingerprints, his stamp, were all over those teams. He, you know, it's not like he was along for the ride. I mean, the Cardinals were dead before he made all those trades near the deadline in 2011. They were dead, you know, and that's just, you know, many examples. Plus his ability to work, to bring that division together after all the infighting with Jeff Luhnow and the Walt Jocketty people. He healed that organization. Everyone started working on the same page. And listen, when Jocketty was fired, Tony La Russa not only lost a very, very close confidant and someone who was crucial to La Russa's success, but he lost a really great friend, right? And here comes John Mozeliak, who was, you know, largely unproven, taking over Walt's job. And yet Mo made that relationship work. He made it work great. And one of the reasons is he understood that Tony La Russa is one of the greatest managers ever, and Tony La Russa's input should be appreciated. And it never became any kind of power struggle. It never became anything. It was Mo found a way, no matter what, no matter how many times, you know, Tony pushed, because he pushed everybody, which is good. Mo never let it get ugly, never let himself sort of fall into the combative mode. Always found a way to calm Tony down, calm the relation down, and just keep moving forward. He did a terrific job overall in the 18 years. The body of work is outstanding, and we should remember that, and we should also realize he is a Cardinal Hall of Famer himself, and I hope Bill DeWitt Jr. and Bill DeWitt III give him that red jacket soon because he deserves it. And yeah, people are right now, I can hear them. Oh, yeah, being soft on Mo. No, I'm not. I'm looking at the 18 years as an entire body of work, which is what you're supposed to do when someone who has been part of this organization for so long. You're supposed to step back and look at the entire body of work.
Bernie Miklas is with us. He made three managerial hires,
Mike Matheny, Mike Schilt, Ollie Marmol, all of them won division titles at some point or another. All of them ended up falling a little bit, and Ollie most recently. But I did see Ollie going out with a fight yesterday, and I wanted to wrap up with this for you. So let me set it up for fans who didn't notice. But bottom of the eighth, Cubs are up 7-3. Michael Busch hit two home runs, a double, and a triple. The Cardinals decided they're done with all of that. They decide to intentionally walk Busch. Now, he was a single away from the cycle. The fans went absolutely bonkers at Wrigley. They hated it. Ollie kind of smirked and said, I like that response. Your thoughts on what Ollie did yesterday?
I was a little surprised that this has created, you know, such a hullabaloo in Chicago, but also like kind of national media chiming in on it. And I don't know whether Major League Baseball has now gotten really, really soft, you know, where, you know, the competitive drive is there, but maybe everyone's trying to like be more friendly or something. They had a chance. They had a chance to still win the game. And I remind everyone, the Cardinals had 39 comeback wins this season, maybe another one today. They were in the top six or seven in comebacks all year long. It's one of the reasons why they were able to hang in there as long as they did. So this is a team known, despite its flaws, having a tremendous volume of comeback wins. It's a 7-3 game. You got a very dangerous hitter coming up. You knew you have a much better chance of getting the next guy out. So you intentionally walk them. In other words, you're going to give your chance. You're going to give your team, even if the odds are against it, you're going to give your team a chance to win, as they've done so many times when they're behind late in games. And with all due respect to Michael Busch, I think it's great that he had a chance to hit for the cycle. I'm sorry, was he going for a four home run game? I mean, was he like about to break like a Billy Williams record or Ernie Banks record? Okay, he had a chance to hit for a cycle. Not exactly a crime against humanity by doing what's best for your team because you still thought they had a chance to win. And in the ninth inning, they loaded the bases and they did have a chance to win. So I'm confused. What is so bad or deplorable about what Ollie Marmol did yesterday? In my mind, nothing is bad about it. He's fighting for his team.
I love the little bit of spice in what will simmer through the offseason in a Cards-Cubs rivalry. It's exactly what you want. Bernie, let me lay this out for people this week, and of course we are going to hit you up for your participation in all of this, but I want to let people know we have about a minute to go. Here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, John Mozeliak has a noon news conference at Busch Stadium. We will carry that live. I will anchor from Busch Stadium on what is the Gas House Gang. We're going to get your input, certainly, on Tuesday. Your regular stop for the Gas House Gang is what we're going to do is go a little earlier. So we're going to go live coverage Tuesday of Chaim Bloom's press conference at 10 a.m. And then following that, we're going to get as many people to chime in as possible. Chris Ranji, you, me, Matt Pauly will be on site at Busch Stadium. I'm certain Kevin Wheeler will be involved in some way, shape, or form, but we will analyze the Chaim Bloom news conference, which I expect to be a lengthy one. We'll carry it on KMOX. Looking forward to all that.
It's a hugely important news conference because he's got to set the tone immediately. Listen, man, I just appreciate KMOX and you for allowing me to be a part of this. I can't thank you enough.
Man, we love you. It's great to have you on the team and in the family, as always. Thanks for the time. Have a great rest of your Sunday. We'll catch up with you real soon.
You take care, Tom.
Bernie Miklas with us on KMOX. Thanks for joining us. Cardinal Baseball comes your way at 1:25.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.